I'd like to welcome Linda Siegel with today's legislative update. We had another little technical difficulty,
uh-oh.
So we missed part of the beginning of what you said. Just to recap, Linda Siegel was talking about the so-called right to work bill, which basically is a misnomer. Can you recap that a little bit?
It's really about eliminating the rights of management and unions to allow people to, if they are represented by a bargaining unit, then they must pay a bargaining unit fee even though they're not union members. And this would totally eliminate that, totally eliminates the management right to even say whether they want to bargain on this issue or not. And
so
that's
basically
where we had the long debate.
What we're talking about is the ever stronger erosion of workers' rights to bargain collectively and to be represented as a collective.
That is certainly how Democrats and the unions see this. And this is one of the primary agenda items of the new Republican majority in the House.
Yeah.
And another one of their agenda items, which occurred in a hearing yesterday also, the repeal of the immigrant driver's license. So there are two bills somewhat similar attempting to repeal that, and that was another, I don't know, I left at like 5:30 and the hearing was still going on. So probably 5 or 6 hour hearing on that issue, and it did, those bills repealing the immigrant driver's license did pass out of that committee.
Now, was there a lot of testimony on each side of that?
There was a lot of testimony opposing the repeal.
Uh-huh.
But the room was so crowded, people couldn't get in or out, and if someone came out, then someone else could go in and testify either for or against. And then the other big agenda item, which will be heard in committees next week, or at least one committee, the House Education Committee, is the retention of third graders who can't read. And of course, no one wants kids who can't read to be progressing through school, but this is one of those political hot button issues that would mandate that a child be held back even against the parent's will if they're in the third grade and can't read. And of course the school districts like to keep the flexibility within the district and to help provide the services to the child so that they can improve their reading skills, and that unfortunately that requires money, and it's hard to provide those extra services to help with the reading, the extra mentoring and all. But this is an issue that the governor has had on her agenda for the last 4 years, and in year five this bill is likely to pass the House.
So far, we're talking about three things. We're talking about weakening unions, expanding the third grade populations of New Mexico, and repealing driver's licenses so there's more unlicensed drivers on the road. How do any of those, in your view, solve the serious problems of economics, poverty, etc., that New Mexico has?
Well, perhaps they don't. I think that when people who are citizens and they think about their government and what their government's supposed to do, to look at things rationally and logically and work out compromises that work for people in our state, that's not always how it happens, because political parties have political agendas.
Right.
And in the driver's license instance, we've had that bill, that legislation in effect for over 12 years.
Yeah.
And it's been working. And to the governor's credit, she has really cracked down on anyone who is perpetrating a fraud there. And they have caught some people doing that. And that's what we want. Everyone supports that. The reading issue the efforts of the public schools to try to get more money into the state equalization guarantee formula so that the per kid, the per child rate is higher so they can spend more money on more teachers to help with these issues.
You know what's odd, though, is that we actually... We're at the bottom of public education in the United States, and we talk about this all the time, but we're about in the middle in the amount of money we spend per student. Mm-hmm. So there's something more than money going on here.
Well, and remember, we're the state, I think we're 50th, we're first or 50th, whichever way it works, in poverty. I mean, we have the most poverty in this country, in our state, in the country. And we have a very high number of English learners in our school districts, as their first language is not English. There are so many other issues, the economic issues, that impact whether a child succeeds in school or not.
Yeah. So, if this, I mean, each of these bills that we're talking about is going through committees, and they have to go through multiple committees in order to pass out of the House of Representatives. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yes, and they're definitely on a fast track to get over to the Senate. Of course, the way that the legislature works, and most legislatures work, they hear their own bills first. So if you have, as the Senate has, almost 400 bills introduced already, and it's only day, 10, 12?
Yeah.
I forget what day it is. That 400 bills. They want to hear their bills before they start hearing bills coming over from the House. So it appears that the strategy from the House is to get those bills over to the Senate as quickly as possible, but quite honestly, they'll sit in committees until the Senate has heard their bills. And the same thing always happens in the House. They want to hear all their House bills before, or at least a majority of them, before they start hearing Senate bills. So the bottleneck is going to happen regardless, but I'm sure that the impetus is get those House bills over right away and try to force the Senate to hear them, but I don't think the Senate will be forced.
Well, especially since you've got one party controlling one House
right.
and the other,
right.
So nobody is going to be pretty excited about hearing pet bills of the opposite party.
Yeah, that's pretty much true. I think we might be in a major gridlock this session. And,
now,
of course, on the budget, we're still waiting for the new revenue update, which will be sometime next week, hopefully, where we have an idea of how much new money we're going to have to expand programs. Or if we don't have any new money, we're looking at flat budgets,
right.
which may actually include some cuts or across-the-board cuts.
Now, how much of that has to do with oil and gas revenue?
Well, since about 20% of all the state's revenue comes from oil and natural gas, this has a huge impact on the budget. And since both of those, as we talked about last week, are down dramatically, that means our revenues are down.
And because those prices fluctuate for reasons beyond the control of New Mexican citizens, we have no idea what those numbers might be 2 months from now, 6 months from
right.
now.
Right, and that's what they're struggling with in the finance committees. What can we anticipate? Are the Saudis going to keep pouring oil into the market and keep the price down or even go even lower? What's going to happen?
Yeah.
And who can predict? The economists never predicted that this would even happen.
Yeah,
all the international, national economists, they were totally caught off guard with this sudden.
Very interesting. So we are talking to Linda Siegel with today's legislative update. We've been talking about right to work, immigrant driver's licenses, third grade retention. Have they, with this third grade retention business, made plans for the idea of having very large third grades and very small fourth grades?
Well, I mean, those are the unintended consequences that many of the school districts are concerned about. How are we going to address this? I mean, it's everybody needs to be doing better in the first grade and the second grade and the third grade to be helping children learn to read. There's no question about
I know.
That.
I've said this 100 times before, but I just don't really understand what's going on.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I was talking to someone the other day about this issue, what happens with the child who is like super smart in math and just a whiz, and yet they have reading problems? Are we really going to hold them back in the third grade?
Yeah.
And then they're going to lose interest or be sitting there all day when they're talking about math? It's so complicated.
Yeah.
It'd be great if you could be in the third grade for reading and then the fifth or sixth grade for math or something like that. That's not how our schools work.
Yeah, there are progressive schools that do that,
mm-hmm.
where you're self-paced and every way that you can be in every subject, and
right.
some people excel at some subjects, but this seems like one of those issues where seeing the big picture might be more helpful than focusing just on the schools, because if the problem is poverty and domestic violence and hunger, third grade retention's not going to do anything.
Well, it's all so complicated.
All right, what else? Anything about our beloved environment, about water, about...
Well, there was a big rally at the Capitol. I bet there were 200 people there yesterday from the outdoor, the hunters, the fishers, the outdoor people. They, during the afternoon, they had a huge rally in the rotunda because evidently the Association for Counties was proposing this memorial that would ask the feds to let us have some of the federal land, and people are very concerned that the state really isn't capable of managing a bunch of federal land that would be given to us, and that these outdoors people were really worried that then they wouldn't have as much access.
Well, that it'll be drilled or sold. I mean,
whatever.
I think that's the...
Yeah, that was the concern. So there are lots of those kinds of activities going on in the Capitol all the time. Every day there's an advocacy group there talking about their issues, and it is a great way to educate. So you get legislators to come down sometimes and hear it or talk at those events, and it's a great way to educate the public. Some of this gets on the media so people see what's going on at their Capitol.
Yeah. So and that's an interesting situation, because a lot of hunters and fishermen and things like that are on the conservative side of the political spectrum.
Mm-hmm. So it was a great mix of all kinds.
Because there's
of
also a lot of hikers
and
mountain bikers and things like that,
right.
which is an interesting coalition.
Yeah.
And politically, who's listening to whom?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see.
There's some other hot button issues, like voter ID bills. There are several versions of voter IDs and other election-related bills in. Of course, one of the agenda items for the Republican majority in the House is to pass a required picture voter ID. But there are bills that would soften that a little and look at other options for identification, because as you know, some elderly people may not have picture IDs anymore, and they've been voting for 60 years.
Right.
Native Americans, particularly elders, who don't have any need to have a picture ID. So there's a bill that would create these substitutes for, particularly in the tribal issue, a certification from the tribe saying that, yes, this person is the real person.
Yeah. But the whole need for the voter ID in the first place has never been established. I mean, I call voter ID, the tagline is, making New Mexico a red state through voter disenfranchisement.
Well, yes, we haven't really had much documented fraud of voter misbehavior.
Have we had any at all in the state of New Mexico?
I think there were a few people found under the Secretary of State's investigation, but it was maybe a handful.
Yeah.
And of course, in Albuquerque, somebody registered their dog. Well, I mean, that's that person's problem, and it was caught. You know, I could register my dog, Tucker Siegel.
Right.
And then who would go vote at the polls for Tucker Siegel?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm just thinking Milk Domandi.
It's a solution in search of a problem that doesn't exist in many people's minds.
Even more than that, it's really a voter disenfranchisement bill. I mean, it seems like the ongoing theme of, you know, right to work is not only a way of weakening unions, it's a way of weakening Democrats, because unions traditionally ally with Democrats, and voter ID is a way of weakening Democrats, because Democrats are less likely, people who vote Democrat are less likely to have IDs. So these are both party politics. They don't really have, they're not honest bills.
It's definitely about the clashing political agendas of both parties,
yeah,
and the philosophies.
Yeah.
I try to be bipartisan.
Well, I know, but I don't have to. Anything else? We got just another minute or two.
Let's see. Well, just the volume of bills. As I mentioned, there's over 400 bills in the Senate. There's like almost 300 in the House. And I think we can expect a couple of thousand bills by the time the 30-day cutoff occurs. So we'll have lots of pieces of legislation to discuss. And as always, there's health care bills and there's transportation bills.
Right.
And we'll talk more about some of the hot issues in future discussions.
Excellent. Well, we're getting to the bottom of the hour here on KSFR. Linda Siegel is with us every Friday after the 8 o'clock news until 8:30 with the legislative update for the whole term of the legislative session. Thanks for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.